You're listening to the Crowdfunding Nerds Podcast, a podcast that will help you succeed before, during, and after your crowdfunding event. And now, here is your host, Andrew Lowen.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another awesome episode of Crowdfunding Nerds. I am your host, Andrew Lowen, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Sexy Irish Sean and Sexy Rick, because you get to be sexy today, too.
Howdy, y'all.
So, what's up, nerds? What's going on? I've got something that's up. I just want you to ask me what's going on. Tell me, say, hey, Sean, ask me what's up.
Hey, Andrew, I heard you have something that you want to
share. I do, guys. Thanks for asking. So you know how we had that free offer for a GameFound project? That is no longer on the table because we have a GameFound project that's upcoming, and I can't wait to share more about it, but I'm going to be so cryptic. I'll say I'm excited. How about, what's up with you guys?
Well, Skyrim is coming to GameFound, and it's sort of the talk of the town online, and it'll be interesting to see. I wonder if it will bring a bunch of video gamers into the board game community who maybe are familiar with board games, but maybe this will be a way to really bring a surge of new people into this subculture. What do you guys think?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, there's going to be a crossover on this. Like when Civilization came out with a board game, it was, I think, it was the same thing. A lot of video gamers got the board game. However, I don't think a lot of video gamers liked the board game. but they bought it, you know. Hey, it's something new. So yeah, I definitely agree with you, and I believe that there'll be some video game nerds that'll get it. I'll probably get it. I'm a video game nerd. I like Skyrim. Don't know if I like the board game or not, but
yeah. Yeah, definitely. I will absolutely be backing that all in. I hope I don't have to spend like $300 to get it, but I'm already kind of trying to soften my wife up for it. I expect to have maybe 15,000 to 20,000 people following that. It's actually on GameFound, by the way, that GameFound page before it launches. I do expect it will be the largest fundraising project of GameFound's existence. It should eclipse the ISS Vanguard, and you know, in so basically over $5 million in funding. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if it raised $5 million in one day and was tied for Frosthaven for number one funded project of all time. I really do believe that this is going to be GameFound's make or break campaign, and I'm sure that there's some significant money behind it from GameFound. And from maybe even a little bit of money from Bethesda, a little support from Bethesda that way, and certainly Modiphius. I'm sure that they're going to put their all into it.
Cool. So what are we talking about on this episode? What's the topic at hand?
Oh, goodness. I am so excited because we finally get to talk about the virtuous cycle. This is a phrase that I use almost as much as Jamie Stegmaier's name. I use it more than Jamie Stegmaier's name when it comes to actually counseling clients, because the virtuous cycle is so important to a pre-marketing campaign. If I'm being completely honest with you all, it's probably the most valuable thing that I could communicate to whoever happens to be listening to this podcast right now. Also known as a positive feedback loop. Before I get emails, I know that this isn't a perfect example or perfect phrase to describe what formula I'm about to share with you, but it is by completing one step, it encourages the user to complete the subsequent steps that, you know, create this positive feedback loop. So a positive feedback loop is when you, by doing a particular thing, either that thing becomes easier to do and maybe more advantageous to do, or it rewards you for doing it so that you want to do it again. This is very common in things like video games. Leveling up is the easiest way that I can think about it. If you level up, you become stronger, hence you're going to want to level up more, and you're going to just become even stronger because you keep leveling. This is pretty much why World of Warcraft exists. It's the World of Warcraft positive feedback loop. But in this case, we're actually talking about automation and marketing. And I just made the conversation really boring, but I hope that y'all will find great value out of this. And you know, that's kind of really the name of the game, is that we want to ask for a very small commitment up front of a website visitor, let's say. And that small commitment, which let's say starts with an email address to just simply learn more about your game, or maybe a person joining your Facebook group saying, no, thank you, I would not like to give you my email. They're just looking for information. That's about as small a commitment that is still meaningful that I can think of in, we're talking Kickstarter marketing right now. So, but those small commitments lead to larger commitments. That's really where the virtuous cycle begins to take shape, is that you have somebody that goes to a website and fills out a contact form with their email address. Maybe it's even their junk address that they use to see what a project is about, and they only check it when they fill out an email form from a website. That person's going to go check if they get an email and it gives them some other call to action. They will likely follow it. So we make use of this. Oh, and by the way, the purpose they for following whatever it is, whatever link is included in that email, when it comes down to Kickstarter campaigns and board games and that sort of combination, it's because they want to learn more about the actual game. They were interested enough to give you their email. They want to learn more about the actual game. So the commitment that they made by giving you their email is to do a little research, learn a little bit more about the game. Now, the virtuous cycle takes advantage of that by through some automation that allows us to communicate with them across as many mediums as we possibly can. That's really our goal. So the virtuous cycle will start someone. Let's say somebody starts off at your landing page, fills out a contact form. Ideally, an automatic email will welcome them into your group and or your community, and have another place for them to go to follow up. Let's just say it's a Facebook group or a Discord channel, a Discord server. They would then join the Facebook group or the Discord server to get more information, to see what it is that your game does, how it plays. Maybe they download it on Tabletop Simulator. All of those things happened because they put an email address into a website, and you had zero part in, actually, you didn't have to manually do anything. The person filled out the contact form on your website, or they maybe put their information in a Facebook group. We'll talk about that sort of entrance into the virtuous cycle later. But the idea is that you're using all of this automation to give the person what they want. And if they easily get what they want, they're going to become more interested after reading it and or after reading the content, and they're going to want more. So that's the basis of the virtuous cycle. I'll try to get really specific. Before we really get into that, I think it's important that we would discuss concepts first. And the first concept is really, well, Sean, do you want to chat about automation?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're basically talking about is how to automate your marketing, or how to automate a portion of your marketing to improve the results of your marketing. We need to really define what automation is. And really, all automation is the process of defining systems, then reducing that system to its simplest form or to its most optimized form. So basically getting rid of things in that system which aren't conducive to the final result. And then it's trying to remove the human input in that system. That's basically what automation is. So what I recommend you do is you think about your so-called sales funnel, or put yourself in the mind of your fan who encounters your board game, they enter the email, what do they do next? What steps are they taking? And how can you streamline that process so you can make it as efficient and easy for them to basically get to a position where you want them to be? We're going to teach you how to do that basically in this podcast. We're going to teach it in such a way that actually removes, as Andrew has said, the human element from that process. It's a very effective way to optimize your marketing and the benefits of automation, because we defined what it is, but the benefits of why you should automate is that it frees you up. You have more time to invest on other things. Imagine if every single time someone wanted to join your mailing list, you have to manually put them in yourself. That'll take a lot of time, energy, and resources. And also, the more steps you have in the process, the more margin for error. So if you had to manually put someone's email in, well, there's a possibility you could put the email in incorrectly, and therefore you lose the lead. You're trying to get as few steps as possible, removing the human element and the human error, so that you can have more time to focus on the things that you can focus on. So the goal really is to work smarter, not to work harder or to invest more time. You're trying to basically optimize your time. with automation.
You were basically describing how to automate through systems. So there are other ways to automate. One of the most popular that we see is through delegation. You know, I guess Sam Walton, when he started Walmart, learned to automate by leveraging people. So even though he's only one man with the same number of hours in a day as the next, he had hundreds and then thousands and then tens of thousands of people working for him, which he was able to leverage. So they, in essence, people for a large corporation become the system. And then you also have software systems that can be used to leverage time. As a board game designer or as a board game publisher, you have enough work to do. A lot of the time, people, you know, in the publishing business barely survive managing a little bit of advertising during or, you know, around their Kickstarter campaigns and their monthly or maybe weekly email updates. That's oftentimes the extent of a publisher's marketing, because that's really all that they can afford as far as time. Sure, they would love to be active on Twitter for their company. They would love to manage a board game group for every single game community. They would love to be active in those groups at Board Game Geek and everything. But there really is only so much time in a day. So if that's not something that you would naturally do anyway in your leisure time, it's hard to just keep adding tasks. So people will often hire out a virtual assistant or maybe give some jobs to an employee or maybe a business partner. Very common that people bring in business partners to just have more time. There are more people, more hands allow for more things to get done, right? So what we're talking about is the system itself can give you more hours in a day. And I will say for my personal project Deliverance, it has been extremely critical because I don't really have that much time to manage my email list and trying to add people to it and make sure that they're getting integrated into my communities. I just need I use the system to do all of that for me. So the only thing that I literally have to touch is an email address every once in a while, an email address. But people join my Discord, people join my Facebook group, people join my email list, and they get the updates that I post in those places because the system works very well on my behalf. And of course, for all of our clients, that is exactly what we do. So it's for us, when I interview a client, I will ask them what things do they have? You know, what marketing assets do you have? Do you have a website? Do you have a Facebook group? Do you have an email list? And I just try to kind of get all of the things that they have. And we go over the virtuous cycle concept because I need to make sure that all of those things are connected as they can be. We need to make sure that emails are getting sent out. We need to make sure that you have some sort of community that you can massage for leads and for results and whatnot. When it really matters, when you're $1,000 away from a stretch goal, you need a place to go that's not your email list. You can't just be spamming your email list every day asking for stuff, but you can totally, you know, post on Facebook every day. You can totally post in Discord every day, you know, your communities, right? So I just need to make sure that those elements are in place so that the campaign will go as well as it possibly can. Really, we just need to give your Kickstarter campaign its best possible chance for the greatest amount of success it's capable of.
So there are some disadvantages of automation. And one of the disadvantages is that if there's an error in the system, you've basically automated a problem. So a lot of hassle and harm can come if you don't have a system that is correctly optimized.
Or even maybe you paused your welcome email like I did this last month and you forgot. It doesn't work. The system doesn't work.
Exactly. And another thing about delegation is that some people can undo their delegation efforts by micromanaging. So they delegate, but then they basically run around chasing everyone, and that delegation doesn't have as much effect as it would be, because there's a lack of maybe trust or confidence in the competencies of the people you're delegating to. And then that can sort of undo your automation, because instead of doing the work you should be doing, you're sort of undoing your delegation automation by kind of investigating a bit too much. So that's something to keep in mind. If you delegate, you need to delegate to people you trust and people who are competent, that you can with confidence know that they're getting the job done without you having to micromanage it.
That brings up a really big point that I actually, through my career, have created a lot of systems, a lot of online systems, websites that do things, you know, when someone clicks on this, does that. I've made a lot of automated systems. And the one thing when you do have a system like this, or when you do delegate, is you always need to audit, audit, at least once a month, go through, make sure your system's working, check all things, you know, put in a, get another email address, put in a different email, run it through, make sure that works or whatever system you're using, you know, because if it's a chain, then anywhere in the chain that breaks, then the whole thing, the rest of it's just gone. So you want to make sure you go through your chain, go through your automation from beginning to end. And I'd say at least do it once a month, just to make sure everything's right.
That sounds like a quality assurance step in an automation. It's a great idea. Quality assurance is so important, just to make sure that, you know, whether it's working with people, I tend to be a laissez-faire, hands-off type manager, and because I place a lot of trust in my staff. But so maybe my the downside is that I need to have more involvement with things. But, you know, even with something like, you know, my people, I try to have systems that I that are in place that we can follow up, that we can check on progress, that we can see, for example, with Rick, all of the SEO reports, all of those get sent out during the first week of every single month, like clockwork, because Rick is trustworthy. Rick's done a great job with that. He always CCs me on those emails because I need to just make sure they're going out, right? And in the event that a client calls me about an SEO report, I need to be able to say, "Well, yes, I do know what you know you're referencing because I received that report too. I can go look into it."
And this is why you hire marketing people, is because you're essentially delegating the marketing side of your Kickstarter, your crowdfunding project, to people who have a lot more experience than you, so that you can focus on the things that only you can do. And that might be, you know, connecting with your community on social media in a very personal way. It could be, you know, looking at manufacturers and getting quotes, and, you know, there's certain things that you're probably the best person to do. And that's what—
Designing, developing the game.
Yeah, right? Developing the game. So that's what hiring a marketing agency affords you, is the ability to delegate, the advertisements, email marketing, and just the strategy. You don't have to think about, oh, how do I grow this business? It's, you know, there's people who have, you know, results and have tried and tested methods that you can say, great, do that, and I can focus on this other thing. Hopefully, the hope is that that will really boost your business in the long term, and you'll actually make more money as a result of that initial financial input through that delegation.
Yeah. You know, before we move into the actual virtuous cycle and what the elements are and that sort of thing, I'll mention that, you know, as long as we're able, our advice is always free. So we get people sending emails and sometimes calling and other things like that. And we will respond to your inquiry. Just, you know, sometimes we even set up Zoom meetings where we can chat for 30 minutes or an hour to help you. I have this philosophy of if there's a fit for working together, then great. You know, we can get paid or whatever. But oftentimes people just need advice that are sufficient or that can be self-sufficient after that. And I love doing that because if I can help somebody succeed in one, you know, Kickstarter campaign, oftentimes they're going to have a larger budget for the next one, and they may want to offload that responsibility onto me because I did a great job for them before with free advice and counsel. So if you guys are looking for that type of help, just to have a second opinion or just maybe somebody to look at whatever it is that you've got going on, you can always reach out on our website, crowdfundingnerds.com, and we'd be happy to chat with you.
Another thing you could do, you could check out the articles on the website as well. We address a lot of people's questions through the articles that we write, and also look at the different backlog of podcast episodes. There might be something there that you have a question and that we actually answer. So that's probably a good place to go first. And if you feel like something isn't covered, then yeah, definitely reach out. We've automated our contact system.
There you go. Let's get into the virtuous cycle. So what I thought we could do is I would describe a firsthand case study of a virtuous cycle, and we would talk about what the you as the publisher's responsibility would be in order to make sure that that runs. It would be like an engine in a car where you need to turn the key in order to turn the car on. Maybe you need to hold the brake, turn the key at the same time, and then the car runs. The engine, the combustion engine runs. Your only responsibility from that point is to make sure it has enough gasoline to keep running, right? Hopefully you know how to turn the car off, put gas in, and then turn it back on, and you know a few things, right? A few tricks of the trade. So we need to be extremely clear on the results that you're looking for. Your key performance indicators matter a lot in your virtuous cycle. So oftentimes I try to boil this down to a single thing, and that is usually more email signups, more group members, and if it's a sale, then more purchases or higher dollar raise. So for board game Kickstarters and pre-marketing, it is definitely the email. All important email address. The more emails you have on your list that are qualified, the better it is. So that is the one thing that you need to pay attention to. You need to track that stat. So it all boils down to that. Now, with that in mind, you have this several components of the virtuous cycle that have one goal. When you get the email, your goal is to win the right to communicate with that person who gave you their email address across as many mediums as possible. This is something that I have thought about, that phrasing. I have researched. I have said that so many times. I said that earlier on this podcast, and I will never get tired of saying that. It is so critical to win the right to communicate to your people across as many mediums as possible.
Is that saying that it doesn't really matter what social media platform you use? Is that what you're basically saying?
So the idea is that when I say across as many mediums as possible, what really I'm talking about are various channels. So email marketing is one channel or medium. You've got Facebook, let's say a Facebook group is another medium. A Facebook page is a separate medium from a group, and it's also not nearly as effective for an individual game. You've got a Discord server. You've got a Kickstarter, like the pre-landing page where you hit remind me, they get updates. Let's say when your project launches, they get a push notification to their phone, an email notification from kickstarter.com. That's because they hit the remind me button. And there are a lot of other mediums that you can communicate. But the goal, I guess, with, you know, if we do obtain the right to, let's say, communicate across several different mediums, the actualized result of this is on your launch day, let's say just taking the launch day as a little microcosm of your entire campaign. On your launch day, the moment you launch, you're going to send an email to your email subscribers. Kickstarter people that hit notify me on launch are going to get a push notification to their phone, an email notification to their email inbox. They're going to get a Facebook group message. They're going to get hopefully a Facebook page message and a Discord announcement. That was all within 1 minute of each other. So that's what I want to happen on the launch day. All of that to just boom, right? And hopefully that makes sense.
Another reason why having multiple channels is very important is because not everyone uses the same channels. So for example, Mr. SEO Wizard Rick right now is not on Facebook. So if you got a Facebook page, I'm not going to sign up for it. However, I'm really big on YouTube. I love watching YouTube channels. So if you got a YouTube channel, I'd be like, oh yeah, sure, I'll subscribe to you. And then that's how I'm getting my information about your product or service is through that channel. And everyone's different. Some people like email, some don't. Some like Facebook, some don't. That's why you want to have multiple channels to guarantee a higher success of a follow through.
That's a great point. In fact, YouTube it's interesting because Sean always puts our videos up on our YouTube channel, and I was surprised for being a podcast, we get a lot of views on YouTube.
Yeah, organically.
So that, yeah.
And there's nothing visually appealing about it. It's just a little
wiggly image. Line, I guess.
With audio.
Wiggly audio line. So
it's the voice.
I think we should start videoing our Zoom comments.
I'll be embarrassed. So that's kind of the idea behind the virtuous cycle. Let's go into the individual components and talk about what needs to be in place. Now, when I am talking with a client, I always tell them, so if I do more of this, it costs more money. If you do more of this, it costs less money. The critical factor is that people need to do it. It need this whole system needs to be in place. And whether you do it or I do it, or it's a combination of both, we need to make that happen. So yeah, the first element of the virtuous cycle is what I call the bank. We always recommend MailChimp because it's free for up to 2,000 subscribers, and you can send out 10,000 emails a month for free, well, with that free membership. But there are others, Constant Contact and, MailerLite.
AWeber, yep. GetResponse. There's quite a few out there. So if you do have a budget for email marketing, check out some YouTube videos and see what people like and what they don't like about each one. Because they all have their advantages and disadvantages as well. But yeah, MailChimp, for those who are budget conscious, MailChimp is the best way to go.
And so they also own like 2/3 of the email market. So they're going to have a lot of money to upgrade and, you know, stay at the forefront of things. So that's why I tend to like them right now. You get an email on the list. We'll talk about where those emails are going to come from, which are other elements of the virtuous cycle. But you get an email on the list. What I need is for a welcome email to automatically be sent out. This is called an automation within MailChimp. I just need a single welcome email sent out immediately when somebody subscribes to your list that says, welcome. Of some kind. Welcome. Thank you. We're glad you're here. We're excited to be on this journey with you. We're excited that you joined the our insider crew, which is what I call my publishing company calls its people. And here's a place that you can go to join our community. The community is kind of, we're getting into the entrance of the virtuous cycle, but so somebody gets on your email list. They get that welcome email, they join a community. That should be a Facebook group or a Discord or whatever it is that you use. Now, very, very importantly, there are things that do not count, in my opinion, with some exceptions. I will say, in general, an Instagram page does not count as a bank. You can get tons and tons of likes on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, a Facebook page. Those people that liked you will not see your stuff unless they engage with you. So I have a couple of exceptions, one being my sister is a very popular hairstylist that has an Instagram page with tons and tons of followers. And she markets the crud out of that page and makes a lot of money off of Instagram. Just, you know, this last year, she made hundreds of thousands of dollars selling training off of Instagram only. That might be you. You might have the ability to do something like that. But I'm going to wager that 99% of these people that listen to this podcast are like me, and they use Instagram more casually. They don't know how to really monetize it. So there are some areas that are easier to monetize than others. And that's why I recommend a Facebook group, a Discord channel, a Discord server. Those are two great places. I don't know if you guys have any others, but your welcome email needs to direct people to your community.
What about if someone tries to build a community on their website? So, because, you know, all these places are great, but you're really at the mercy of the developer of these platforms. They can change their algorithms at any time, suddenly put all your stuff behind a paywall. You know, you don't know what can change. Well, if you're directing people to your own platform, like your own website, and you have the ability to have like a live chat or like a form there that people can engage on, would you recommend doing something like that even?
So this is actually why I consider the email so important. It's the cornerstone of this entire operation, because if something does happen, which it does, you know, Facebook has changed their algorithm several times. Facebook groups used to be a much bigger deal than they currently are. Discord currently doesn't have anybody advertising, but I guarantee you Discord is going to eventually organize their groups by these people like board games, and we like money. So pay us for advertising to these board game channels, those or board game servers. That will eventually happen. New community spaces will, like, there's Clubhouse right now, which is kind of a brand new thing that everyone is fiddling with. These are new spaces that will come out and kind of maybe cause Facebook groups to become older and dated. We absolutely need the ability to communicate with our fans and give them new links, new places to go. You need to be able to change that link in your email. Now, some people do use forums. there are people that several of our clients have used forums on their website. I tend to find that forums are excellent when people are engaged with your stuff, but when they fall off, for example, they put your game on the shelf for a while, or, you know, let's say Board Game Geek is a great example of a forum. You can also use a forum plugin on your own website, but when people fall off of your game's bandwagon for just a little while, maybe the new hotness comes out and they stop playing, they need a place where they can chance buy some of your content because they just so happen to be using that platform anyway. Now, that might be Board Game Geek, it might be Facebook, it might be Discord or whatever, but that's why I recommend don't put all your eggs in one basket. You definitely need to diversify.
And I was just going to go over that as well. Self-hosting your own platform has a couple of major disadvantages. And, you know, early we talked about, you know, creating an automated system, but making sure it works. Well, the same thing applies when you self-host. If you install your own forum software on your website, you got to make sure it continuously works and you have to do the updates yourself. There's no, big corporation that's going to do it for you unless you find someone else that does it. But also at the same time, the big point that I wanted to bring up that Andrew just brought up is I think the self-host would be great for your hardcore fanatics because they're going to be the ones that are already inspired to visit you. However, like Andrew was saying, your interest may wane. However, if you have Facebook and you use Facebook daily, whether or not you use it to look at, you know, Andrew's product deliverance or something else, you're still going to see his stuff because it's going to pop up on your feed no matter what. Same thing with YouTube. I just randomly go on YouTube and find things, but the people I subscribe to, their stuff shows up whether I'm looking for them or not. And that's the important part because, you know, at first when everyone's really into it and gung-ho, it's not a problem to be self-hosted. But as time goes on, their interest may wane, like Andrew was saying. And so these important larger networks are great because people are going to them daily no matter what, or, you know, more frequent no matter what. So you still have the chance to bring them back in to right. your market.
And now each of these platforms have their pluses and minuses. There's certainly not one formula that's going to be ideal for every game. But I will say that, for example, you know, pluses for forums. You've got a backlog of forum topics that are easily searched. So Board Game Geek, if you were to go look at the new hotness, whatever it is, right now it's Tiny Epic Dungeons. Hunted is on Kickstarter right now that I just got this last week. Those types of all of the topics on those forums are there. I can go and I can look and easily find if this game is going to be fun at two-player co-op because somebody's probably already asked that. And it's going to be easy to find compared, you know, just based on the title of the search. Whereas a Facebook group, I often answer the same question over and over again because people don't search through a Facebook feed. I kind of think it's silly whenever a Facebook group admin says, this has been answered already. This question has been answered already. Use the search bar. It's like, that's not how people use Facebook.
And it's good for his group, right? Because it gets engagement, which means more people will see notifications within his group. So
yep, that's right. Now that we have this community, we need a way to really fill the funnel. So what we just talked about, I called a funnel. You've got the bank that you deposit the email address in, and then it starts to do stuff without your involvement. It sends a welcome email, which, by the way, you know, they go to your website, that's one touch. They, you know, get a welcome email, that's a second touch. They go to your community, that's a third touch. Third time that they've actually looked at your thing. And after, you know, seven touches, people tend to remember who you are and they're more likely to buy from you. So the more times that you can touch somebody with a marketing piece or communication through a social channel, the better. How do we fill it? There are a couple of ways. The first, well, you really need I'll just call it a portal for dumping an email address in. So we need to get email addresses to fill the funnel, right? And so there are a couple of different places you can go. One, the most obvious, is a landing page. You have a contact form on your landing page. We could probably spend a lot of time talking about the landing page and what ideally it would contain on it. But for now, I just want you to know that you need a landing page with a contact form that integrates with your email service. A lot of the time, like MailChimp, you can have a little form builder that just, you know, you can copy paste some code onto your website and there it is. Other website platforms like Squarespace might actually have forms that you can automatically just pop into Squarespace and then integrate MailChimp in a different way or whatever. But the important thing is that you have a website landing page that talks about your game, that gives a space for people to sign up. That's one area. Now we'll talk about how to market that later. I just want you guys to think about for now, that's one of the portals that people can drop their email. Another portal that I find very common is the Facebook group. The reason that I push the Facebook group so much is because when somebody joins, not only is the engagement great and the sense of community, it's all about your particular game or whatever, you know, the questions that you can ask when people join, you are able to ask it. Let's say it's their first, maybe they didn't go to your website. They didn't sign up. They heard about your product from a friend. They found the Facebook group because someone invited them to it. So they go to it and they see a question that's like, hey, would you like to receive monthly updates? If so, enter your email. That is a question that you can ask in a Facebook group so that they can say no, they can leave it blank, they might enter their email. And what I find is about half the time, people will enter their email into that field. What's really cool is that you can actually, if somebody types anything into that field at all, there's a setting in the back of Facebook for your group that if they type anything into that field at all, they're automatically approved. And that saves a ton of time. I used to actually have to go through and approve people manually because I wanted to collect their email address. If they put their email address in, the only step that I need to do is copy their email address from that Facebook group. So there's like a little section where it'll say, you know, 10 people joined your group this week, and all 10 of them, it'll record all their 10 responses. So you can copy their email and paste it into your email marketing system, which will then spit out the welcome email, which will then show the community and so on and so forth, right? So that's the way that you get their email.
We have an article on Crowdfunding Nerds on how to set up a Facebook group with all those settings. So we'll include it in the show notes.
Whether they begin at your Facebook group or your landing page, that is kind of the tip of the spear, as it were. So now all you need to do, so you're going to get the email address if you market those two things, either one of those two things, let's say. And I'm sure that there are other entrances, other portals to activate your virtuous cycle. The only thing that matters, again, is that you get the email address, that the email address gets dumped into your marketing or your email marketing system, and the system does the rest. Now let's talk about like getting people to the landing page, getting people to the Facebook group. Da, da, da.
The hard part.
Yes. Yeah. The quickest fix for this is paid ads. So you can pay Facebook to do ads and that kind of thing. You'll fill up, you typically market your landing page. But what I would suggest to you is that organic marketing, where you don't have to pay, but you include your link somewhere, that's all you need to do. You include a link to your group, your Facebook group, a link to your Discord server, or a link to your website. There are a lot of ways that you can do this, but it doesn't cost any money to copy and paste your website URL into wherever it is, a Facebook comment reply, or maybe a Discord channel or something like that. You need to be talking about your stuff. So wherever you would naturally talk about your stuff, you should share your links. And very commonly, there are a lot of strategies that you can use to do that. In fact, we did an entire podcast, I think, was it last week, about Facebook groups and how to actually do this in a Facebook group, how to get meaningful results out of a Facebook group. So what other ways would you guys say you can get people to a landing page? How would you dump people into your funnel, into this virtuous cycle?
Another thing that I actually witnessed Andrew do, which was very, really awesome, is at conventions. You'll have, you know, if you have a booth or you have like a section where you're playing games, it's really easy to people who you play your game or are interested in your product, say, hey, can you just put in your email real quick? And it goes right into your email system and through that.
I think an important thing about that system is that you need to design your landing page that without scrolling, someone can know that they're at the right place and can insert their email. Because if you're handing your phone to someone with your landing page, you want them to just be able to say, okay, great, I can see that this is the game, and they're going to put their email in. So you don't want them to be like scrolling down to the bottom of the page to put their email in. But you also want that if people do find your page and they want to find more information, but you really want to design it in such a way that as soon as someone lands on the page, they know what it is and they can insert their email. So when you meet someone in person, you start a conversation and they are interested in the game, you can then hand them your phone and say, here, just, you know, type in your email and I'll send you game updates.
You know, I'll even say that the very first convention I ever attended, I believe it was, I think it was like 2017 or 2018, maybe. I had only a paper prototype. I did not have a website. I did not have a Facebook group. I had no one who cared about my thing. It was the very first time I ever went to a convention to show what product I had. And what I did was I used, so again, I'm going to chime in for MailChimp because they have an app. They have a phone app, and I know a lot of other companies will as well. But when I would go play, and I know this will be more relevant as, you know, the world opens up and we get conventions back again. But even if you're sitting across the table from somebody and they play your prototype, you can have the MailChimp app open, add, you know, hit the little plus one or whatever to add somebody to your subscriber list, and then hand them your phone so that they can type in their name. I think that's what Rick was talking about, where
So I
would actually hand my cell phone to someone so that they could type in their email address if they would like to receive more and receive more info or just follow along with the game. This was before I even had an email list that I would send a monthly update to. I had like nobody on my list. I had no community to speak of. And the only element that I had in my little virtuous cycle was the app that people could sign up for and a little welcome email that said, I really appreciate you. As we get more, as we make more progress, I'll share pictures and other things like that with you. And I actually have people that are waiting to back the latest Kickstarter that signed up back at that very first convention that just followed along that long. So there are, I would say, degrees of severity in this virtuous cycle concept. So, you know, if you don't have very much, if you really are starting at like square zero, you don't even have, like, you just created a Facebook account yesterday, or maybe you don't even have one, I don't know. There are ways for you to bank and capitalize off of acquiring an email that you can then build into something more amazing.
For this example, you're going to have some time before it goes to Kickstarter and a little bit of skills. Content. Content is still king on the internet. So let's go back to the example that, you know, I always use, where I have my zombie apocalypse game, my zombie board game. So some people are looking for that. So when they go to, you know, Google or search engines, they type in zombie board game. Well, guess what? You can make an article, and let's do this. Make an article titled "The Best Zombie Apocalyptic Board Games That Are Coming Out in 2021 on Kickstarter." And guess who number one's going to be? But then you place yours as number one because it's your game and you have a lot of passion about that game and you can go through that. Or you can make an article of like, why, let's call my zombie, I don't know, we'll call my game Zombino. Okay, there we go. And you can make an article, like, for example, and post it everywhere. On, you can post it on social media, you can post it on medium.com. You can, you know, you can get out there, and the article would be, why Zombino is the ultimate zombie board game for 2021. And that's going to catch people's eye. So if you have the time to do content, you can actually make specific articles and pages that will capture those kind of buyer keywords. And then you could, of course, at the end of the article or throughout the article, hey, if you're more interested, click on this link to the website. Or if you're interested, put your email right here. We'll get you right.
You know, it's interesting because you mentioned that article about Zombino, and I would totally probably read it. So if you wrote an article about, let's say, what I would probably lean more towards something like, you know, five things I wish were in a zombie post-apocalyptic board game. Maybe, you know, something that's missing, and maybe you can talk about what you're going to do about it or what you're doing about it with your game, The Great Zombino, that's coming to Kickstarter in 2025 or whatever it is. So
I'm going to laugh if there actually is something called Zombino out there.
Please don't sue us.
I tried to make it up, I swear. It's not affiliated anything for this one.
So the idea is that with content like that, you just need to get it into what I call a traffic vein, somewhere where people are already going, they're already congregating, they care about this type of stuff. If you have a board game and you're going to Kickstarter, you know, go to a board game Facebook group and share that article, and you'll get people that actually read it. You know, there are a lot more people that'll read it than will probably like it, but you could get some traction that way, especially if you're just sometimes, you know, like over the weekend, I just had this concept for, you know, for one of my games that just flowed out of me in like 20 minutes, you know, into a blog post and posted it. I shared it in several communities and I got a little bit more traction that way. Sometimes it's just really easy to write a designer diary or something like that. All you have to do is find a traffic vein to share it, and you'll get.
And also, Rick, you could probably speak more into this, but articles can do quite well if they're evergreen for SEO, right? So if it's a topic that people are, you know, always interested in, or if it's something that has a high search volume, then that there's a very long-term effect of writing articles that can benefit your business and a greater scheme of things.
Correct. But also, as a side note, I did look up Zombino. There is a Zombino. It's a Yu-Gi-Oh card, so I'm very sorry, Yu-Gi-Oh. this is not related to Yu-Gi-Oh in any way, shape, or form. Yes. And when it comes to article marketing, when you have a specific niche or product, you want to make your articles as evergreen as possible. In fact, this goes back to the virtuous cycle, because once you make the article, if it's an evergreen article where dates aren't important or things don't change, you don't have to update it because it's always going to be current. Or you may have to make some minor updates, you know, once a year, just review it real quick and make some changes. In fact, there's, I always laugh because there's a lot of people out there who claim to be SEO gurus, and some are and some aren't. And they always have like the article, like the ultimate SEO guide for 2021. And then next year they just take the same guide and change the date to 2022 and maybe change a couple things, but it works because they're ranked number one for that thing. However, though, when it comes to if you're doing like a Kickstarter project that's coming out next year, you want to really focus on that year because people are going to start searching for things online for that year. Like, you know, like best Kickstarter 2021, best whatever. So I do recommend that you do make a lot of things that are mm-hmm. actually specific.
Timeline specific.
To the date, specific to your genre, specific to, and it doesn't have to be evergreen because this is the article will last throughout your campaign. And then once your campaign's done, you know, the game, unless you're going to be doing more editions of the same game or something, then that's something you might want to look into and revise. But in most cases, it's almost going to be like a one and done deal. Yeah. You're going to make the articles, people, it's going to attract people, bring them in, and then they go, eventually you'll sell your product on GameFound or Kickstarter or whatever choice of platform, because you'll have choices in the future. And then from there, you may be working on a completely different project or something beyond that. So yeah, evergreen articles are very awesome and very cool when you can do it. But I think in cases like this, when it comes to your project, you want urgency. You want to make sure that it's date specific. You want to make sure that it applies to people right now. And that's, we've been talking a lot. So I think we're out of time. But once again, if you, this is episode 14. If you have any questions for us, feel free to go to crowdfundingnerds.com/question. Or if you want more information, we have some really, really great articles on our site that Sean has produced for us on various topics of crowdfunding with Kickstarter and GameFound and whatnot. And you can find that at crowdfundingnerds.com. And it's been a great episode, and I had a great time with you, Andrew and Sean, and looking forward for us to having another exciting week. And all you nerds out there, we will see you next week.
Catch you guys on the flippity flip.